ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय संसारसागरे मग्नं नीनं मां करुणानिधे कर्मग्राहगृहीताङ्गं मामुद्धर भवार्णवात् श्रीमल्भागवदाख्योऽयं प्रत्यक्ष कृष्णमेव हि स्वीकृतोऽसि मया नाथ मुक्त्यर्थं भवसागरे मनोरथे मदीयोऽयं सफला सर्वदा त्वया निर्विघ्नेनैव कर्तव्यं दासोऽहं तव केशवाम् भवे भवे यदा भक्ति पाधयोस्तव जायते तदा कुरुष्व देवेश नादस्त्वं नो यद प्रभो नाम संकीर्तनं यस्य सर्वपाप प्रणाशनं प्रणामो दुःखशमनं तं नमामि हरिं परम् जन्माद्यस्य यतोऽन्वयादितरदश्चार्तेष्वभिज्ञस्वराट् तेने ब्रह्म हृदाय आदिकवये मुह्यन्ति यत्सूरय तेजोपारिमृदं यथा विनिमयो यत्र त्रिसर्गो मृषा धाम्ना स्वेन सदा निरस्तकुहकं सत्यं परं धीमहि धर्मप्रोज्झितकैदवोत्रवरमो नर्मत्सराणां सदां वेद्यं वास्तवमत्र वस्तु शिवदं तावत्त्रयोन्मूलनम् श्रीमद्भागवते महामुनिकृते किम्वावरेश्वर सद्यो हृद्यवरुध्यदेत्र कृतिभि शुश्रूषुभि तक्षणा निगमगल्पदरोर्गलितं बलं शुभमुखानमृतद्रव संयुतं पिबदा भागवतं रसमालयं मुहुरहो रसिका भुवि भावुकाः सच्चिदानन्दरूपाय विश्वोत्पत्यादिहेतवे तावत्रय विनाशाय श्रीकृष्णाय वयं नुमः यं प्रव्रजन्नं हनुभेदमभेदकृत्यं द्वैवायनो विरहकादरमजुहाव पुत्रेधि तन्मयदयत्तरवोऽभिनेतु तं सर्वभूतहृदयं मुनिं मानतोऽस्मि यस्वानुभावमखिलश्रुतिसारमेकम् अध्यात्मदीपमदितिदीर्षदां तमोऽन्धम् संसारिणां करुणयाः पुराणगुह्यं तं व्याससूनुमुपयामि गुरुं मुनीनां नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत् कमनीयकिशोरमुग्धमूर्ते कलवेणुकुणिदातृदाननेन्दोः मम वाचि विजृम्भदामुरारे मधुरीं नः कनिकापि कापि कापि नमाहों विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रस्थाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिभिः नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वतीदेवं गौरवाणि प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषशून्यवादि पाश्चात्यादेशधारिणे श्रीमद्गुरुचरणारविन्दाभ्यां नमः वन्दे नन्दव्रजस्त्रीणां पादरेणुमभीष्णश यासां हरिगदोद्गीतं पुनाभिभुवनत्रयं गोपीचरणारविन्दप्रमाणवे नमः पीताम्बरं करविराजितचक्रशङ्खं कौमोदकी सरसिजं करुणासमुद्रं राधासहायम् अतिसुन्दरमन्दहासं वातालयेशमनिशं हृदि भावयामि कोमलं कूजयन् वेणुं श्यामलोऽयं कुमारः वेदवेद्यपरं ब्रह्म भासदां पुरदो मम मूकं करोति वाचालं पङ्गुं लङ्घयदे गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वन्दे परमानन्दमाधवम् ॐ श्रीकृष्णाय नमः श्रीमद्राधिकाय नमः सर्वत्र गोविन्दनाम सङ्कीर्तनं गोविन्द गोविन्द இந்தி ஸ்ரீமத் பாகவதம் ஏகாதச ஸ்கந்தம் உத்தவா ஹேர்ட் ஃப்ரம் கிருஷ்ணா கிருஷ்ணா ஹேர்ட் ஏகாதச ஸ்கந்தம் ஃப்ரம் உத்தவா சாரி உத்தவா ஹேர்ட் ஏகாதச ஸ்கந்தம் ஃப்ரம் கிருஷ்ணா சின்ஸ் தென் தெர் இஸ் எ ரெஃபரன்ஸ் டு எ டிஸ்கஷன் பிட்வீன் Shavinaga Rishi and Sudha Goswami in Padmapuranam about Uddhava and Uddhava's discussions with Krishna. It is in the reference to Srimad Bhagavatam in the Padmapuranam. Padmapuranam has six chapters referring to Srimad Bhagavatam, which is called the glorification of Srimad Bhagavatam in Padmapuranam. Srimad Bhagavatam is glorified in two Puranas basically, Padmapuranam and Skanda Puranam. Both of them have glorification of Srimad Bhagavatam. What you have to remember is that Srimad Bhagavatam was compiled with the understanding what Narada Maharshi gave to Vedavyas. Originally, as you know, that with the arrival of Kali Yuga, people's intelligence, intellectual capacity to understand the difficulties of Kali Yuga and also the way of life, all these things has a direct impact on the spiritual strength of the human society. Knowing very well, Sri Narada Maharshi asked Vedavyas to compile Srimad Bhagavatam. Sri Narada Maharshi asked Vedavyas to compile Srimad Bhagavatam. So as Vedavyasa Maharshi understood from Narada Muni, when he compiled Bhagavatam, what did he do? As he was instructed, he brought the Supreme Personality of Godhead's different incarnations together. He pulled them all together. For example, if you look into Bhagavatam carefully, you will see all Puranas appear in Bhagavatam. Varaha Puranam, which runs into hundreds and thousands of verses, Vedavyas brought into the third canto and summarized it as Lord Varaha's appearance. Varaha Puranam comes in like that. If you look again, Narasimha Puranam comes in the seventh canto as Prahlada's story, summarized and brought it in there. If you look again, Vamana Puranam, Lord Vamana Puranam, which also runs into thousands of verses, Vedavyasa Maharshi compiled that and brought it into as Vamana Avataram story in the eighth canto. Like this, Varaha Puranam, Vamana Puranam, Malsya Puranam, and apart from that, and in the 12th canto you will also notice that Markandeya Puranam he has brought together and brought it in three chapters there. Markandeya Puranam also has come in there. Shiva Puranam he has taken out, Lord Shiva's glorification, Shiva Puranam, brought the essence of that and brought it in the fourth canto in the form of Daksha's pastimes with Lord Shiva. Daksha's sacrifice, performance sacrifice, and in which Daksha's lost his head and all that story come from Shiva Puranam. Similarly, from Vishnu Puranam, majority of pastimes of Krishna has also come from there, Vishnu's pastimes. So if you look like that in the Srimad Bhagavatam, you will find it is nothing but a summary of all the Puranas together. Varaha Puranam, Malsya Puranam, Vamana Puranam, Vishnu Puranam, Shiva Puranam, Markandeya Puranam, and all the other major Puranas also have come in somewhere or the other. In addition to that, what else has he done? He brought Ramayanam into it in the ninth canto. Three chapters referring to Lord Ramachandra's pastimes, which is in 24,000 verses in Ramayanam, which was brought in, condensed and brought it into two chapters into Srimad Bhagavatam. He brought Mahabharatam into Srimad Bhagavatam. How? In the first canto and the ninth canto is nothing but Mahabharatam summary. Summary of Mahabharatam. So like this, whatever Vedic literature exists, or including Rigvedam and all the Upanishads, they have also come into Bhagavatam at different places. So can you imagine, studying Srimad Bhagavatam means you are basically studying the whole of Vedic literature to some degree. In other words, once you absorb Srimad Bhagavatam seriously, that Srimad Bhagavatam is capable of representing the absolute truth. Vedic literature represents the absolute truth. Srimad Bhagavatam represents, therefore, Srimad Bhagavatam is considered to be Krishna himself, not different than Krishna. That is what we are going to discuss now. That why this Srimad Bhagavatam, which is nothing but a summary of all the Puranas put together. Puranas were not actually directly written by Vedavyas. They were also spoken by the Supreme Lord in the much earlier time during the process of creation. And that was summarized and put it into an order by Vedavyas like he did with the Vedas. And he also systematically arranged the Puranas under different titles. And therefore, they are as important as the other Vedic literature. Normally it is said Shruti and Smriti are the two eyes and Puranam is the heart. Puranam is the heart. So such an important position is given to the Puranas, and it is the summary of all the Puranams comes into Srimad Bhagavatam. So for Bhagavatam is an important Vedic literature. This is why Bhagavatam has been given so much importance over all the other Puranas. We may think, why Bhagavatam is also not like any other Puranam? No, Bhagavatam is different because Srimad Bhagavatam brings in everything, different incarnations of Krishna. Different incarnations of Krishna. Now, what is the difference between incarnations? Incarnations means, the word incarnation means avataram. Avataram means avataranam. Avataranam means to descend. Descend from the spiritual world. Krishna descends from the spiritual world in different forms at different times. He comes down in different forms in different times. Some appearances he comes and goes straight away. Doesn't stay very long. Like for example, if you take Matsyavataram or Kurmavataram, and Kurmavataram also, tortoise incarnation or fish incarnation, they had only one specific purpose. They came and they did that and they disappeared straight away. But some other incarnations, like Krishna, Ramachandra's appearance and Krishna's appearance, they have lasted a longer time in this world. Varahavataram, for example, came here in the form of Varahamurti and killed Hiranyaksha and went back straight away. Didn't stay longer. Similarly, Narasimhamurti also appeared, killed Hiranyakashipu and went back to the spiritual world. So different incarnations does different different activities, but at the same time, some incarnations have stayed longer than the others. Particularly, Ramchandra's appearance and Krishna's appearance are like that. Martyavadarastyahamartyashikshanam. That's what is spoken about Ramchandra's appearance. He has come in the human form to teach the human society, because he had to take that human form to teach the human society. Only then you will be able to relate with him in that form. Because otherwise, Malsim, Gurvam, Varaham, Narsimham and all is a little bit difficult to relate with for the ordinary conditioned soul in the human body. Whereas in the appearance of Ramachandra, that is what has happened. Martyavadarasyaha Martyashanam. In Bhagavadam it is spoken like that. So it is called a Paripurna Avadaram, complete incarnation. Complete and descending the truth completely here. But when it comes to Krishnavadaram, it is called Paripurna Ramavadaram. There is nothing after that. What was even lacking in Ramachandra's appearance was taken care of in the appearance of Krishna. So after all this, Bhagavatam was compiled by Vedavyas on instructions from Srinarada Maharshi, and in the Padma Puranam you will see a discussion between Suda Goswami and Shaunaka Rishi. The same personalities who are discussing about Bhagavatam, they will discuss it there also. Now, you have to know who these personalities are, Suta and Shaunaka, who they are. Shaunaka Rishi's history is a very important thing to know about Shaunaka. Shaunaka was not an ordinary person. We may sometimes think that he is also one of the sages. No, he is more than just an ordinary sage. Shaunaka Rishi's history is like this. Shaunaka Rishi has actually, if you look into Rigvedam has 10 mandalam. 10 mandalam means 10 sections. Out of that, all the hymns and mantras that comes in the second mandalam or the second section were revealed to Shaunaka Rishi by Krishna. So Shaunaka Rishi is responsible for the second mandalam of the Rigvedam. Either it is directly Shaunaka Rishi or Shaunaka Rishi's disciples. They have written down. What else? Apart from that, Shaunaka Rishi also is responsible for conducting various sacrifices. He also have a very outstanding record of conducting the yajnam, sacrifices in the Vedic traditions. So many of the Vedic rituals, Vedika Karmam, Vedic rituals, he has been absorbed in that and he has a great expertise in that as well. So apart from the Rigveda Samhita, compiling them, he is also expert in the Yajurveda. The Yajurveda, which is referring to the performance of sacrifices and also the different ritualistic ceremonies involved in that. And thirdly, apart from these two, he has also developed a book called Shaunaka Shiksha. That book is available today. In the market it is still available. What Shaunaka Shiksha does is, how to pronounce the Vedic hymns correctly without mistake. So Shavanaka Shiksha, Shavanaka Rishi knew the importance of Ucharanam. Ucharanam means the pronouncing the hymns properly without mistake, and that for along on that subject he wrote this famous book known as Shavanaka Shiksha. After that, he has also compiled a literature where he has spoken about the different demigods, who they are, each one of them, and their significance and their authority, and in detail about different demigods. And that is called, book is called Brihadevada. Brihadevada, that book was also written by Shavanaka Rishi. Like this, Shavanaka Rishi has been a very, very active sage who has done a lot for the maintaining this Vedic tradition in this world. And therefore, when we read about him in the Srimad Bhagavatam, we should also feel that this great personality, Shavanaka Rishi, what all he has contributed to the spiritual life in the Vedic tradition. Apart from all that, he was not only a good teacher, but he was also a good student. In the sense that, from Angiras Maharshi, he learned Mundaka Upanishad, and through Mundaka Upanishad, he also learned Vedanta philosophy. So, apart from Rigvedam, apart from Yajurvedam, and apart from writing these books of Shavanaka Shiksha and Brihadevada, he has also compiled this, he also studied Mundaka Upanishad very much in detail from Angiras Maharshi directly, and have directly realized all the realizations what Angiras had. He has passed it on to Shavanaka Rishi. And it is that Shavanaka Rishi who is discussing about this with Sudha Goswami. Sudha Goswami, as you know, he is the Pauranigan who has come to talk Srimad Bhagavatam in Naimisharanyam. So Naimisharanyam discussion is happening between Sudha Goswami and Shavanaka Rishi. So Shavanaka Rishi and thousands of other sages who were present there in Naimisharanyam, they were actually asking the questions to Sudha Goswami. And in reply to that, this Srimad Bhagavatam was spoken in Naimisharanyam. When they came to know the age of Kali has appeared, is coming, and realizing that the condition of the living entities in the age of Kali, Shavanaka Rishi and others went directly to Lord Brahma to discuss about it. And it is in Brahma's request, Brahma sent a wheel directly to this, he rolled a wheel out, and that wheel came out, and wherever it comes and hits in this earth, that place, there will be free from Kali. And they were instructed to go there. So Shavanaka Rishi and others were instructed to go there. And Nimi, this wheel which was rolled by Brahma, which came and hit this earth, that's a place called Naimisharanyam, which exists today near Lucknow, in a place called Tunisar station. So there, Shavanaka Rishi and the other sages were performing sacrifice. Sudha Goswami comes there, and the discussion happened there. So Shavanaka Rishi asked a question to Sudha Goswami. Sascharyamethal kathitam kathanakam yanadhi dharman viganaya sampradam nishreyase bhagavadam puranam jadam kuto yoga vidadi sujagam. This was the question. The question was that he says here that why is it that although there is so much knowledge in the Vedic literature, how come Srimad Bhagavatam has been given such a prominent position compared to all the Vedic literature? Because there are the Upanishads and there is so many other literature referring to the truth discussed by the great sages through their revelations, what they have received. So Shavanaka is asking this question. Sascharyamethal kathitam kathanakam yanani dharman viganaya sampradam nishreyase bhagavadam puranam jadam kudo yoga vidadi sujanam. This was the question from him. So Sudha Goswami says to him, yada krishno dharam tektva svapadam gandham udyada ekadasham parishutya uddhavo vakyam abravid. Sudha Goswami says to Shavanaka Rishi, yada krishno dharam tektva svapadam gandham udyada, that when Krishna was going back to the spiritual world, after instructing Ekadasha Skandam to Uddhava, Ekadasham Parishutya Uddhava Vakyam Abravid, what Uddhava has spoken to Krishna at that time is an important thing to take note of. Sudha Goswami said like this to Shavanaka Rishi. Uddhava says,
ഉദ്ധവവാചാം ത്വം തു യാസസി ഗോവിന്ദ ഭക്തകാര്യം വിധായ ച മച്ചിത്തേ മഹതീ ചിന്ത ത്വാം ശ്രുത്വാ സുഖമാവഹാം. ഉദ്ധവ ഈസ് സെയിങ് ടു കൃഷ്ണ, ത്വം തു യാസസി ഗോവിന്ദ ഭക്തകാര്യം വിധായ ച. After you have executed all your responsibilities towards the devotees, you are now going back to the spiritual world. Machitte mahari chinda tvam shrutva sukhamavaham. It is interesting that I have some things to say about it before you return back to the spiritual world. Probably it will be very pleasing to you. Agadoyam kalir ghoro bhavishyanti vunakhalaha talsangeneiva sandobi kamishyanti ukradam yadam. Then, Kaliyugam has come. Agadoyam kalir ghodo bhavishyanti punakhalaha. That people's situation has changed considerably. Talsangeneiva sandobi gamishyanti ugradam yatham. Therefore, what will happen to this mother earth? Where will she take her shelter? And what will happen to all those who was going to come in the future? See, Uddhava is so kind to us all. On our behalf, Uddhava is pleading to Krishna to stay back. What is going to happen if you go away? What will happen to these unfortunate people in the age of Kali? And you are actually the Supreme Personality of Godhead who had come here, and you have helped a lot of devotees to go back to the spiritual world. And now, what will happen to them? Tada bharvadi bhumi gorubeyam kamashrayel anyonadrushade trada totta kamalalojanam. Bhumi Devi has taken the dress of a cow, and what shelter she can have now. And although you are the absolute truth, you have taken this form and come here in order to give your mercy to all the devotees here. At satsdayam krutva bhaktavalsalama vraja bhaktartham saguno jado niragaro vichinmayaham. Then you are very, very compassionate to the devotees. And whenever you are shown your compassion by coming here and associating with the devotees only for their benefit, and in this particular form which you have presented before them and which has attracted everyone very close to it. Tadviyogena de bhakta katham stasyanti bodhale nirgunopasane kashtam adakinjil vijareyam. Normally those people who are attracted by the nirgunopasana, that means the impersonal brahmam, they will find it very, very difficult, because no one is strong enough to follow that path. Nobody is capable of following that path, nirgunopasana. Nirgunopasane kashtam adakinjil vijareyam tadviyogena de bhakta katam stasyanti bhudale. Where will the devotees go if they only impersonally start following their process? And ordinary people who are devotees, your devotees, what will they do? When Uddhava spoke like this to Krishna, Krishna thought about this. And bhakta avalambana arthaya kim vidheyam mayedijam. That Krishna was present at the time in the Prabhasam. Prabhasam is the place where Krishna was going, where performed all the rituals for getting rid of the curse from the Brahmanas for the Yadavas. When the Yadavas were cursed by the sages, Vishwamitra and Durvasa and all the great sages together, they cursed the Yadavas that they will fight each other and kill themselves. Sambhava was dressed up in the form of a pregnant woman, and they tried to make joke with the sages. So that incident happened, and Krishna told all the Yadavas to go to Prabhasam. And it was in Prabhasam this incident happened. Bhakta avalambanathaya kim vidheyam maye dijam. Then after hearing this, idi uddhava vajashrutva prabhase ajindayadhari bhakta avalambanathaya kim vidheyam maye dijam. Thinking about this, what did Krishna do at that point? Krishna said, at that point Krishna decided that anyway Uddhava's question is very valid. What about those who are going to come later? What are they going to do? Because I'll be gone. I have to go. My business is finished here. So, what Krishna said? Sokiyam yal bhavete jal tacha bhagavate athadhal. Himself, Krishna decided to enter into Srimad Bhagavatam. Krishna entered into Srimad Bhagavatam. That is what it said here. Tirodhaya pravishtoyam Srimad Bhagavatam arnavam. Tirodhaya pravishthoyam Srimal Bhagavadarnavam. That Krishna entered into, while disappearing from this world, Krishna actually did not go away. Actually, he entered into Srimad Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam is considered to be a great ocean. And to that ocean, Krishna got into. Tirodhaya pravishtoyam Srimal Bhagavadarnavam. What is that Bhagavatam? Teneyam vangmayi murti pratyaksha vartade hare. Sevanal, shravanal, padhal, darshanal, papanashini. That teneyam vangmayi murti, Krishna's incarnation as literature, or vangmayam. Vangmayam means words. In the form of words, he incarnated into this world as a Srimad Bhagavatam. Vangmayam. Vangmayam murtim pratyaksha vartade hare. Krishna says to Uddhava, I will remain in this world in the form of words, and that words are Srimad Bhagavatam. That words are Srimad Bhagavatam. Teneyam vangmayi murti pratyaksha vartade hare. And sevanal, shravanal, padhal, darshanal, papanashinim. By serving Srimad Bhagavatam, by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, by studying Srimad Bhagavatam, even by seeing Srimad Bhagavatam, it actually takes away one's sinful reactions. One's sinful reactions from one's own creation. So, in this way, Srimad Bhagavatam has been discussed in the Padma Puranam by between Sutta and Shaunaka Rishi. Sutta Goswami and Shaunaka Rishi. So that is just to mention about the importance of Srimad Bhagavatam. That Bhagavatam is Krishna himself, is not different. That's why Krishna said, Tirodhaya pravishtoham Srimal Bhagavadarnavam. If you want to search for me, he says to Uddhava, anybody wants to find me, they will find me there in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And you can see the importance of Bhagavatam from that. Now, in Ekadasha Skandam, we were discussing about Prabuddha. Prabuddha was the fourth sage out of the nine yogis who were discussing with, who were answering the question how to cross over Maya. Isn't it? That was the question. The question was how to cross Maya, how to cross over Maya. And answer to that, Prabuddha was answering that question. So, there you see that the question was, Yathaira Rajo Raja, Yathaidam Shuri Mayam, Bustaram Agradalpavi, Tarandyan Justvaladiyo, Maharsham Idamuchyadam. The question, Yathaidam Aishuri Mayam, Bustaram Agradalpavi, very difficult Maya. How one can cross this Maya? This is the question from the king. The Maya's power is known to the king very much, because after hearing about Maya from Andariksha, he understood the power of Maya, that it is not so easy to cross over Maya. So the question came up from the king, from King Nemi, Yathaida Aishwari Mayam, this is verse 17 in the chapter 3. Aishwari Mayam Dustaramagral Pavi Arantarandyanjastuladiyo Maharshamidamuchyadam. So in reply to that, the question was raised by the king. Generally, we have seen before also, Kavi Hari Andarikshan Prabuddhan. This is the fourth stage who is talking about now. When Kavi answered, first thing was, what was Kavi's answer? Kavi discussed Bhagavata Dharma. What is Bhagavata Dharma? Hari spoke. Hari spoke about what are the symptoms of a devotee. Isn't it? Symptoms of a devotee. And he stressed the importance of bhakti. That unless one is a devotee of Krishna, and what kind of devotees exist, the three different types of devotees, and their characteristics, or their symptoms, or whatever that is referred to, is called how one can recognize whether one is a Uttamadhyari, or Madhyamadhyari, or Kanishthadhyari, the three different levels of devotees. So there we have seen that he mentions also that bhaktiyal sanjayada bhakti. Bhakti develops into devotion, develops further into devotion. And that is the only way, Hari Maharshi says, that Bhagavata Dharma is nothing but bhakti. Bhagavata Dharma is nothing but bhakti. Proper, what is bhakti? In that question is asked, the answer to that is those verses from Hari Maharshi. Hari Maharshi has answered that question. It is such an important thing to know this, because we misunderstand things many times in the name of bhakti. So many things we do in this world in the name of bhakti. But proper bhakti, what is that? That is to be understood. And that you can only understand from the words of these great sages. And also from Krishna. And Bhagavad Gita talks about bhakti. If we keep them together, then we will know what is bhakti. What is bhakti? Bhakti, bhakti is such a thing that the power of bhakti has been discussed in many instances. That when one making the progress in the spiritual path, one who has got bhakti, he is even free from all kinds of illnesses. Normally the chances of him even getting severely ill is very little, because the possibilities are that bhaktiya sanjaya bhaktiya, that bhakti purifies the person to such an extent. It purifies him all the time. That's why, because that purificatory power of bhakti. But we misunderstand bhakti means only that we go to the temple, whatever we do there is only bhakti. But it is not so. That bhakti is such a thing that it has to come from, start from the very early days. And it starts with those who are around you first. It starts with them who are around you, living around you. With them, that relationships. And when that relationship is growing, that in bhakti process, that through that connections with the different living entities. This is precisely the reason why we mentioned that. Why in the Upanishads these statements come, Madhra Devo Bhava, Pitra Devo Bhava, Acharya Devo Bhava, Atithi Devo Bhava? Because they are closely related to us. So through them first develops bhakti. What bhakti means. And experience that. And there itself, if we ignore the very fundamentals there, then we are going to have difficulties. We are going to have difficulties. Just to let you know that how these things can happen in life. Once it so happened that a person who was very, very ill with diabetes, he suffered heavily with diabetes. And he did not know, there was no good treatment available, and he eventually felt helpless, totally helpless. And he went to a Siddha. There are many times you will hear about Siddha Purushas. Siddha Purushas means they have achieved some perfection. They can see certain things which we can't in our conditioned state. So this incident happened in Salem, in Tamil Nadu, some time ago. And this person who had the diabetes, he goes to him and talked to him about his problem. What was happening, that how helpless he was, out of desperate situation. No treatment was working, nothing was helping. So the Siddha told him that looking at him, he could find the cause of that was that in his own life, he has neglected certain things from his previous lifetimes also, that he owed a lot to other people. That means he has received many things from many people, but he hasn't given back anything to them. In other words, there was a lot of debt on his side. Devarshi Bhudatam Ranam Pidranam Na Kingaron Nayam Ranijarajan. This is why Vedas are talking about these things. Don't increase this debt. So, this person said to him that from now on, you just feed about 100 people every day for about a few months. If you can feed them, you will get out of this situation, he said. He says to him, where to get 100 people every day to eat? Because these days nobody wants any they are not freeloaders, they don't want anything. They just want to... it's difficult even to get people to come and take food these days. So he was finding it difficult. So the Siddha told him, don't worry about anything. Just get some cats or dogs or birds or anything and just feed them with food. He said to him like that. And that person took that instruction very seriously and he fed them for few months. The result was that he got a great cure from his diabetes illness. Because of the power of the Siddhas, they could see that where the things were going wrong in that person's life. So such things can happen. It is only to show that unless one develops bhakti in life, in one's own life, the relationship with others, in that if there is no bhakti in one's relationship with others also, because if you look into the first verse in the Hari Maharshi's words on bhakti, what did he say? He didn't say, you go to the temple and see Krishna there and don't look care about anyone else. No. What did he say? Sarva bhudeshu yappashyel bhagavad bhavamalpana bhudani bhagavatyesha savai bhagavadottamaha. That bhagavadottaman, the first class devotee, is that person sarvabhodeshu yapashel bhagavel bhavamatmana. He is seeing Krishna in every living entity. Only as Krishna he can see his presence in every living entity and deal with him in that way. Bhudani bhagavati esha savai bhagavadottamaha. Then he will only see Krishna as present in every living entity. So it is a little, that is bhakti. That is a first class devotee. He says here, the first class devotee's qualities. If we don't take these things seriously, what will happen is that Shastram says, Ayurvedam also says about this. Purva janma kridam papam vyadhi rupena jayade. Disease coming to us. Why disease come to us? Purva janma kridam papam. The sinful activities in the previous lifetimes comes to us in the form of disease. The modern science and all the research don't go into such details, into that side of it. They find out after the disease comes what we should do. They don't know anything beyond, before that, why this disease has come. It is not all, everything is coming through germs, is it? Not everything is germ. Germ is some flu or a few things like that. But some illnesses, when it comes, we wonder why that has happened to me, why it didn't happen to someone else. Because purva janma kridam papam vyadhi rupena jayate, that in the form of vyadhi it will come. How does it happen? Because generally the flow of prana in the body through the nerves is uninterrupted. It goes properly. But when in our own dealings with other people, if we bring too much duplicity into it, it will develop in the form of a crisis inside. And that will block actually the flow of prana. It will actually block the flow of prana in the... This is the Yoga Shastram. Paranjali Maharshi says this, that how illness builds up in the body. Purely, it's mostly due to our own dealings in the hypocrisy nature and the way we try to deal with the world, not being straightforward about things. That's why it is said, purva janma kridam papam vyadhi rupena jayate. And they will block the flow of prana in the nerves through the nervous system. And when it is blocked, it develops into problems. And that will develop into different kinds of illnesses. This is Patanjali Maharshi's version of the cause of illnesses. He considers that this is the most important thing. So, bhakti actually purifies this. Bhakti does not, when one has bhakti, he does not take this, he gives up all this unwanted connections with the world. In other words, he deals with the world properly. He does not show, he does not act in a way which is against the principles of bhakti. So, bhakti process is such an important thing. You will see later on when we read these verses, how each and every item, what Prabhupada has spoken, is not different than what Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita. This is the beauty of that. So from here, two great personalities. Here, Prabhupada is speaking and Bhagavad Gita Krishna is speaking. There is no difference at all. Everything is very much the same. And there, the more interesting than that is, neither in Bhagavad Gita nor in the Srimad Bhagavatam, there is no reference to the external appearance of a devotee. That is not spoken at all, anywhere. Then, that now generally many of the people have this impression that I've got my neck beads and I've got my beads bag and I've got my dhoti on and I've got my beautiful tilak and I've got my shikha, so I must be a devotee. Now, Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam is not presenting that devotee. It's not presenting that devotee. In Bhagavad Gita, if you look from in chapter 12, there is not a word mentioned about the appearance of the person. Same thing here also. Prabhupada also not spoken one word about the appearance of the person. All he is talking about the consciousness of that person, what it is. And from there you can see that if we want to make progress in spiritual life, this is what is our standard. This is the guideline, nothing else. If these things are not taken into account, then whatever we may do at the end, our spiritual life will stay where it is. It will not make any progress. So, the first question, first thing what you have spoken was Prabuddha Vajam. Prabuddha is Shri Prabuddha Vajam. Prabuddha is saying this. Answer to that question. കർമാണ്യാരഭമാനാനം ദുഃഖഹത്യേ സുഖായജ പശ്യേൽ പാകവിപര്യാസം മിഥുനീചാരിണാം നൃണാം. എ വെരി ഇൻട്രസ്റ്റിംഗ് വേഴ്സ്. കർമാണ്യാരഭമാനാനം ദുഃഖഹത്യേ സുഖായജ പശ്യേൽ പാകവിപര്യാസം മിഥുനീചാരിണാം നൃണാം. ഹി സേസ് ഫസ്റ്റ് തിങ് വൺ ഷുഡ് റെക്കഗ്നൈസ് ഇസ് കർമാണ്യാരഭമാനാനം ദുഃഖഹത്യേ സുഖായജ. That this realization should come to a person. What is that? I am executing karma in this world. Lot of people are executing karma in this world. But it is all done for what purpose? To become happy in this world. Isn't it? To become happy in this world. Dukkha hatye sukhayajam. To eradicate distress. To eliminate distress. And to become happy. That is the purpose of doing karma. But what actually happens, and then he says here, Pashyel, what happens? Paga vipanyasam. Exactly the opposite comes. Exactly the opposite comes. It's not that everything what we do brings forth the result what we expect from that. Isn't it? I think with a lot of experience in this world, most of the people would have realized it. At least by age of 50, 60, most of the people realize it. In the age of 20 and 25, it's difficult. Because at that time, you are just want to control the world, the external world. But after 20, 30 years in this world, living and dealing with material nature, one understands that everything is not directly proportional to the effort what you put in. That's why it said, Dukkha hatye sukhaya cham. Although we are doing it for getting rid of the distress in this world and to become happy, Pashyel paka vibaryasam, the result that is coming is not always according to our expectations, isn't it? Sometimes, instead of happiness, mostly distress comes. And we start wondering why it has happened to me. Often if you look at the newspapers and all, you will find one person was writing a letter, I have worked all my life, paid all my taxes, now I never get any pension, he says. All my pension gone. He's crying like that. Why? Pashel paga vibanyasam. He has done everything according to the law in the country. He says, I have worked all my life, I paid all my taxes, everything I have done. But this is what has happened. Pashel paga vibanyasam. He says, Mithuni charinam nranam. So this understanding has to come first thing. That it is not going to depend directly on your effort and it's not necessary that you may work in this world to be happy, but there is no guarantee the result has to be favorable. It can always be unfavorable. It can many instances. So therefore, opposite results can come. This is in everyone's experience in this world. Sometimes parents say they bring up the children with a lot of love and affection. As soon as they grow up and they become independent, they won't listen to anything after that. So when the parents are saying, I worked all my life and I looked after my wife and children, now they are not listening to me at old age. So he is lamenting at that time. He is thinking that, why did I waste all my life doing this? So this thought comes to him. So, Pashyel Pagavibaryasam Mithuni Charinam Nranam. That this is the experience of everyone in this world. In some way or the other, everybody experiences this world at different levels. Politicians, they work thinking that they have to take this country to the top. And they work very hard, 20 hours a day, 22 hours a day, without sleeping some of them work. Thinking that their country has to become prosperous and they have so much to do this, that and the other. What happens after a few years? The very country kicks him out from there. And then he started looking back. This is the country I was serving all last for many years. What happened? So, like this, industrialists, businessmen, everyone in this world, the results that come from their work need not be always favorable. It is not directly proportional to the effort what one has put in. So there is something else to it than that. That is what it says here. The same question, what Prabhupada is answering here, the same question was raised by Vidura to Maitreya Maharshi also. If you remember in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, you will find that verse there, that Sukhaya karmani karoti loke. When Vidura went to Haridwar and saw Maitreya Maharshi there, that was the first thing he asked. Vidura's first question to Maitreya Maharshi, he was not asking him, tell me Srimad Bhagavatam, His question was like this. Sukhaya karmani karodi loke nathai sugam vanya uparamavam.
That sukhaya karmani karodi loke. For the sake of happiness, the whole world is working very, very hard. But what is happening is, they are not able to eliminate their distress still. Why is it like this? He asked these questions to Maitreya Maharshi. In the third canto, Vidura asked these questions to Maitreya Maharshi. So there you can see, in Srimad Bhagavatam, this understanding is very important. That in this world, however you work hard or do whatever you do, at the end of the day, there is no guarantee by your work alone you can eliminate all the distress in this world. That's not possible. That is not possible. That is the first thing to understand. Sukhaya karmani karoti loke. Sukhaya karmani karoti loke. Lokam is working for sukham, for happiness, all the karmam. But results can be opposite. If this understanding is very deep in one person, then he can go further from there. Otherwise, the inquiry is not possible. We'll keep working again and again. We won't give it up. We'll think, somehow or the other, I'll make it. I have to make it. If I don't make it before I'm 40, I'm a failure in my life, then I have to get something to take some drugs or something, and somehow or the other escape from the depression I'm going to experience. But you don't have to get depressed, because the fact is this. This is the conclusion of the sages, Prabuddha, Vidura. They are all saying this to us, that it is not completely dependent on your hard work in this world. Sukham or happiness is not directly dependent on the hard work.
Pashyelpaka viparyasam mithuni charinam nranam.
Maya is controlling this world. There is where the power of Maya comes. Maya is like this. Maya, there's a nice golden bowl. In that golden bowl, there's a lot of nice first-class sweet rice in there. And they have put a lot drop of poison into that. And they say, you can have the sweet rice now. So everything what we experience in this world is like that. The happiness what we get here is always tinged with some kind of distress along with it. Either it is totally distress or some distress will come from that. That is what he is saying here.
Karmanyarabhamananam dukkahatye sukhayaja pashyel pakaviparyasam mithunicharinam nranam.
Prabuddha says, one who wants to cross over Maya, he should understand this he should accept this totally and start from there on. If he has not understood this, then it is no point in talking further about it.
Nityartidena vittena durlabhena atmamrityuna grihabhatyaptavashubi ka priti sadhidaischalehi.
Previously also, when Srila Prabhupada went to America, that time also, many people asked this question to Prabhupada. That industrially advanced countries, people are happy because they have got, they worked very hard, they developed wealth, and therefore they are not having any difficulties in life. Prabhupada's answer to them was, actually you don't know what is happiness even, he said. His answer was, you don't even know what is happiness. Because you can see that happiness is not directly dependent on the material circumstances also. This, when one is under the influence of Maya, what happens to him is that he comes into the illusion that by working hard, everything, all the problems will be resolved. And in that platform he carries on. With the result that many instances, as you know, that the modern world has problems which is incurable. It's incurable nowadays. Most of the problems what we have today in the modern society, there is no cure for that. This is the situation. Maya teaches us a lesson there that no matter how hard you work with all your intelligence and mind, still you cannot be happy in this world. There is so much distress coming from all angles, from all sides. Relationships breaking down and other problems related to alcohol and so many other sinful activities which becomes more and more prominent in the world. Because of that, the society has to suffer heavily. We are all aware of that. Only thing is we close our eyes to it and carries on with life. But happiness in a society is not dependent on those things. Happiness is dependent on through Krishna consciousness and how to free oneself from Maya. And that is when you are not out of Maya
and we continuously surf Maya, the result will be also Pashel Pagavibaryasam Mithunicharinam Nranam. That this point is not understood by the modern society, and therefore we have more problems than any other time. Our problems are incurable. There is no cure for these situations what we experience today. So, Nityartidena Vittena Durlabhe Analpamrutyuna Grihabhatyaptavashubi Ka Priti Sadhidais Chaleihi. He says here, Nityartidena Vittena. The nature of wealth, what when one tries to acquire in this world, how long, how far that will go. Nityartidena Vittena Durlabhe Analpamrutyuna. Even if one struggled hard and acquired wealth, Shastram is saying, Bhagavatam is saying there, that wealth cannot go with you. You have to leave that wealth here when you leave this world. So what was the point in struggling so much all life to simply to acquire wealth? This is the question. And even if you leave that, suppose you have even acted in a way in this world and performed a lot of sacrifices and somehow or the other you have gone to the heavenly planets, even then, from the heavenly planets, you have to come back once the results are finished. So, nothing what you acquire in this world through effort is going to last very long. In other words, time wasted and energy spent in that direction is ultimately a waste of time. That's what Bhagavatam is saying. Nityartidena vittena pashubha durlabhe analpamrutyuna grihavatyaptavashubhi ka priti sadhidais chaleihi. What is the benefit from this? Ka priti sadhidais chaleihi. What will happen from this effort? This is what Srimad Bhagavatam is asking that question. Even if you go to heavenly planets with great effort, kshine punye marthi logam vishandi, when the money runs out there, when your credit is over, we have to come back to this material world and continue again. So, an intelligent person should think that, is this what I want to get from this human body? What I want to acquire from this human life? So, once that thought comes up, only then he can think about Maya. Maya's role is to keep us busy in this world in some form or the other. That is why it is all these things are spoken in the beginning. First thing to understand that by working hard alone, there is no guarantee that we are going to be happy in this world. First thing. Secondly, even wealth, if you acquire with great effort and energy if you spend, even if you acquire that wealth is not going to stay. It will also go one day. So, what is the point in acquiring? So, this is in order to make us aware that the power of Maya, how Maya engages us in different things before we think about crossing over Maya. Then he says, evam logam param vidyal nashwaram karma nirmidam. Everything what we achieve in life is based on karma. Karma is the cause of all that. Nashwaram karma nirmidam, it says. First thing, it is temporary, nashwaram, and it is karma nirmidam. In other words, due to karma alone, it comes. Due to karma, it comes. That is what it is. Then we execute karma, and the result of karma we get. According to the karma, whatever we get it. So, Krishna says, here Prabhupada says, evam lokam param vidyal nashwaram karma nirmidam. The nature of anything that comes from karma, that comes from karmam is nashwaram. That is the most important thing. That karmam cannot give you something which is permanent. That will never come from karmam. Karmam will only bring at the end nashwaram, temporary results. It was just like something you have worked for and some results will come from that according to one's qualifications. It may come or may not come. So nashwaram, karma nirmidam. And then he says, Satulyadishayadhvamsam yadhamandalavartinam. Then tulyam adishayam dhamsam. All these things, in whatever way if you take it, that these things are not to be taken to such an extent seriously. Because in this karma mandalam we are working. Mandalavartinam. In karma mandalam we are operating, isn't it? Karma mandalam means bhulogam, bhorlogam, surlogam. The soul within these planetary systems, it's moving from one species to another, higher species, lower species, it keeps coming down. Everywhere there is this karmam, effect of karmam working there. That cannot be changed because that is the way Krishna has created that. So, in order to escape from karma mandalam, that is the first duty. Not that we do more and more karma and become more and more entangled in that. That is not the goal. That is not going to help also. So, one who wants to cross over maya, he should take this message very seriously. That I am entangled in so many karma in this world. It's only binding me more and more. The law of karma, the science of karma, how it is implicating me more and more to this material world. Rather, one should develop Krishna consciousness. That's why it is spoken all these. These fundamental points are brought out first. First he spoke about the happiness and distress, not directly dependent on one's effort alone. Even though one may work for happiness, results can be distress. Secondly, he spoke about the futility of working to acquire wealth in this world. Eventually how that will also be lost and will also be taken away. And then in the third verse he said, evam logam param vidyal nashvaram karmanumidam. Everything is coming from karma and it is temporary also. It does not have any permanent position. It cannot have any permanent position. After one has understood these three verses, and realized it properly, then tasmal, therefore, such a person, kurim prabhadyeda jityaso shreyam uttamam shabde parecha nishnadam brahmani upashamashrayam. After he has come to this point, understood these three things, what he has discussed here, then he should, therefore, he says, tasmad, therefore, gurum prabhadyeda, he should go to his spiritual master. He should pray to Krishna for a spiritual master. Jityaso shreyam uttamam. A person who has analyzed, so you can see, before one becomes a disciple, he has to think through these things. And he should have analyzed it very well in his mind. That I am working hard in this world, but not necessarily the results I am getting is not always favorable. Sometimes whenever I have put effort into something, the result what I am getting is distress from that. Why is it like that? That question. Secondly, I worked hard, but not necessarily that the thing is not going to stay with me. Sometimes you worked hard, earned a lot of money, and then it becomes a Northern Rock or Equitable or something and it goes. That with that. And so what do you do? That is what these verses are only telling us, these things, nothing different than that. And then you can have an inquiry and person is dead and gone from this world. Still the discussion goes on here about the compensation to be paid in this world. Isn't it? So including the government, including the public, including the institutions, they all are in the same mess. They're all doing the same, cheating each other. Business is going on. And some people think that what's the point in saving up? Let me enjoy life now as much as possible. Don't worry about the future. We'll see at that time when that comes. So this is another mentality comes from this. So like this, people are not realizing that the very nature of Maya is like this. That it will not allow you to stay here happily. It will create these kind of situations and make us, throw us back and forth in one way or the other. So therefore wealth is also not something which can stay with anyone. It may not stay. It may not stay. and carefully even guarding the wealth, in spite of your best care, it is sometimes taken away. So that is another important point. Thirdly, it says here that everything that you have acquired in this world from karma is nashwaram. They are temporary. So once these three things are understood, then such a person, once he has analyzed it and understood that, then he should tasmal gurum prabhadyena jityaso shreyam uttamam. That person should think about approaching a guru and shreyam uttamam. Shreyam uttamam. What is shreyam uttamam? Shreyam and prayam. Shreyasa and prayas. There are two things, isn't it? We all know that. Shreyasa and prayas. Shreyasa means ultimately what is beneficial, and prayasa means what is immediately beneficial to us. Immediately what brings pleasure to us. That is prayasa. And shreyasa means what is ultimately beneficial to us on a long-term basis. So in other words, in the prayers, what we are talking about is all with reference to this life, temporary material body. what is beneficial for us in this temporary material life, that is Shreyas. And Shreyas means what is beneficial to the living entity for eternally, forever, once for all, what is the beneficial thing one should do. So the Shreyas and Prayas, everyone at home, friends, society, family members, father, mother, they will always advise on the Prayas side. Nobody will tell you about Shreyas. Everyone will tell you about the Prayas. Only the Guru will say about Shreyas. Only the Guru can say about the Shreyas. All other people will talk about only Prayas. Only will talk about Prayas. Once it so happened that one person died, and after that he had to go to heaven or hell, one of the roads he has to go through, to one of these places. So when he went, he saw two roads going, one in direction, one another direction. So he didn't know which road was going where. He got into the best one, a very first class motorway, I think. He got onto that and he started going on that, thinking that this must be going to the heaven, he thought. And he was going. After a while, he saw signposted hell, 120 miles or something like that. Signposted there. So he thought, why? I got into this first class, out of the roads, I thought this is the best one, I took it. So he came back. He didn't go further, didn't want to go, he came back. He got onto the other one, and he started going on the another road, next one. When he started going there, after a while, he noticed that the road is full of potholes and full of problems. He couldn't even go through that road properly. So he started getting confused. And it is signposted, go to heaven, heaven, the road to heaven. It is signposted like that. So he said to someone who saw there, he asked him, why is this road full of potholes and not properly maintained, whereas the other one is first class motorway? He said, that man said to him, you are a fool, don't you know that roads are maintained according to the traffic? The traffic on this road is so high that we keep the road in the first class condition. He also said, you know one thing, he said, all the VIPs from the earth, they come on this road only. On this road, which is well maintained. Because VIPs comes means what? First thing, they get the road ready, isn't it, for them to go. So he said, this is for the VIPs and that is for the ordinary people who have nowhere else to go. They can go on that, he said. So this is how it is. So heaven and hell is like that. So Shreyas and Prayas is also like that. The path of Prayas is like the motorway. You can go through it. You can enjoy life, do so many things. But ultimate goal, the destination is not very pleasant. Whereas the path of Shreyas is like the road with the potholes, a lot of austerities, lot of penances, and eventually you will get there. But when you get there, you are out of trouble. That is the Shreyas. So Shreyas and Prayas is what is spoken here. Tasmal gurum prabadhyeda jityasu shreyam uttamam. So first thing, the jityasu, one who has analyzed this, he has to understand is that shreyam uttamam, he should understand that the Shreyas is more important than the Prayas. That otherwise it is not possible. It is not possible. Shabdeya pareja nishnadam. And the Guru's qualification we have seen, Shabdeya pareja nishnadam brahmanya vashamashrayam. This is the very minimum requirement of a spiritual master. Shabdam, Shabdeya pareja nishnadam. Shabdeya pareja nishnadam means that he should be fully conversant of the Vedic literature. All the Vedic literature he should have studied very well. Shabde Parejanishnadam. And then Brahmani Vashamashrayam. Pare Brahmani Nishnadam, Shabde Brahmani Nishnadam. That is what it means. Shabda Brahmam he should know well. And Parabrahmam he means he should realize all that what he has studied in the Shastram. Whatever he has studied in the Shastram, he should realize it. And he should have taken the shelter of Brahmam to such a degree, Vashamashrayam, that he should not be someone who has theoretically understood something and who only speaks something just to for the sake of pleasing the crowd or pleasing the listeners. That is not the person Guru. Guru's role is not like that. He must have realized everything. It so happened once that that there was one very scholarly person. He has got he has got so many titles and qualifications, everything. In the sense that he used to come to a Gurukulam and teach the children. He was very qualified. He used to have Vedanta Shiromani, Vyakarana Shiromani, Bhakta Shiromani, all kinds of titles he had acquired from different places. And when the, in the olden days, when they gave these titles, they will either give them a necklace to wear in their neck or some kind of rings to be put on so that when somebody sees, they can immediately see that this person has a lot of recognition from the king or from higher circles. So that's how it was. So this person used to come and teach in a Gurukulam. He was teaching children some Vedanta philosophy he was teaching. So he used to teach them, he used to tell them, Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya, Brahma is the truth, Jagat is false. This is how he used to teach them. But he was only teaching them the theory, he had no realization. Because a person who thinks Jagat is Mithya won't act like this. Because all his 10 fingers, he had these rings on all of them, and expensive necklace, and dressed up so well. So the children who were listening to him, he was teaching them this. Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya, he was teaching. It is one of the Mahavakyams in the Upanishad. So he was teaching them and telling him this Brahma Satyam, the nature of the Brahman and the illusion of the world, everything he was teaching. So the children were saying, listening to him, yeah, only the rings are Satyam, Jagat is Mithya, he said. All the rings are Satyam, not Brahman is Satyam. The rings are all Satyam, Jagat is Mithya. So that kind of people cannot help anyone. That kind of people cannot help anyone. Because whatever we have studied in the Vedic literature, it is such an important thing, the realization must come from that. If the realization is not there, such that person cannot purify somebody else in the same way. Because when a disciple goes to a spiritual master, the disciple is expecting that his mind also gets purified. He also gives up all his illusory conceptions on life. And free from all false ego and free from all the falsities of life and able to assimilate the same realization what the spiritual master had. So if the spiritual master has no realizations, what will happen is that the disciple also won't get that realization from him. And that will become a problem. That will become a problem. That is why it's spoken all these things, that direct knowledge from the Shastram, as much as Shabde Pareja Nishnadam, Shabde Pareja Nishnadam, Brahmani Upashamashrayam, Shabda Brahmam and Parabrahmam. Shabda Brahmam means all the Vedic sound vibrations, Vedic literature in other words, their realization, studying from that and that realizations from the that side. And then after he studying all that, how much that he has put into his own life and realized it. Only such a person can deliver someone. Otherwise it is not possible. Otherwise it will simply on a theoretical platform, it will stay. It will not go very far. So that's why Tasmal Gurum Prabhadyeda Jinyasu Shrayam Uttamam Shabde Parejanishnadam Brahmani Upasham Ashrayam. He says here. Then Tatram then so these things are so important. We were talking about Ekanath's story last Sunday. Ekanath was very expert at this. He was an expert at this. Expert in the sense, his spiritual master Janardana Swami was both had, incomplete. Shabda Brahmam as well as the Parabrahmam in both. Realization was so complete that Ekanath realized it. If I've got a guru like this, I don't even have to care about the Supreme Lord. I don't have to worry about anything. Because here, he is here directly in this form. The Supreme Lord is here in front of me in this form. He can deliver me. And that conviction was so strong in Ekanath's mind. Ekanath Swami never once
deviated from his devotion to Janardana Swami. Once it so happened, Janardana Swami told Ekanath to bring some water from Benares and take to Rameshwaram and perform Abhishek on Lord Shiva there in Rameshwar as Ramanath, perform with the Ganga, water from Ganga River to Ramanath in Rameshwaram. So Ekanath Swami went to Benares, collected the water and travelled all the way to Rameshwaram. When he got to Rameshwaram, just he was going to enter into the temple, a few yards before that, a donkey was standing there in the hot sun and it was really feeling the thirst so much, it was going to die in a few minutes if it didn't get any water to drink. So, he had this water he has brought from Benares all the way to perform Abhishek for Ramanath or in Rameshwar. And here, the donkey was standing outside. Ekanath didn't think about a second even. Didn't even think about a second. He just took the water, gave it to the donkey to drink. Because it was needed that water badly. And when he went inside with the empty pot, somebody else was with him. They asked him that, where is the water? He said, I have handed over to Rameshwar there outside. Now, he knew very well that by doing that, he has already come to that status that with the mercy of Janardana Swami, Ekanath had come to that realization that Supreme Lord is present in all the living entities. Instead of giving it to him, suppose I brought this water inside and performed this Abhishek on Lord Shiva, he will ask me this question. Instead of giving it to who actually needed it, you brought it and thrown it on my head. What will be the answer I will be able to give it to him? So this is the thing, that Ekanath's realization was so good. Sarva bhudeshu yapashel bhagavad bhavamalpana bhudani bhagavatyesha savai bhagavadottamaha. So that realization is not easy to come. For most of us, we are still on the understanding that deities and only deities where we can relate with Krishna. Not in any other form. That understanding is not coming. So therefore, Bhagavatam is saying here, Prabuddha is talking about this, that these are problems that can come in spiritual life. It's not easy to cross over this. Uddhava also mentioned these things to Krishna later on. In the Bhagavatam you will see that. So, tasmāt guruṁ prabhadyeta jinyāsu śrayam uttamam śabde parejanishnādam brahmanyubhashamāśrayam. And therefore it says here, tatra bhagavadān dharma shikshel guruvalpade ivada amāyayāyāna vṛtyāya stushye ālpma ālpmadohari. Then, stushye ālpma ālpmadohari. It says here, tatra bhagavadān dharma shikshel guruvalpade ivada. That one who has understood Bhagavata Dharma in this way, realizing that he should serve the spiritual master in that way, which way? Guru Atma Devada. Krishna has come to me in the form of the spiritual master and he has come to deliver me. And Atma Bhavam, as oneself, he should think that how I will serve myself in the same way, I should serve the spiritual master in the perfection way. And there, the word used, if you look at there, you will see, amayaya anuvrtya. It is a very important thing. What is amayaya anuvrtya means? Amayaya anuvrtya means without any duplicity. Kapatyam. Kapatyam means any falsity in dealings. The dealing with, not only with spiritual master, this is necessary even mutually. Mutual in this world in order that bhakti to build up. As long as we have falsity in our dealings, that will not, is helpful for bhakti. That's why it is said there, amayayayana vrtya aistushed alma almadohaim. That it is an important point to remember that without anything in expecting in return, without any kamana, that is amayaya. Amayaya means without anything expecting in return to serve. That is a very difficult thing in this world, isn't it? To serve someone without any expectations in return. So therefore, purification can only come for a devotee or a disciple when he serves without any expectations in return. If you want to understand what is amayaya anuvrtya, if you look into Bhagavad Gita, you will find there that
prajahi prajadiyada kaman sarvan parthamanogadan atmaneva atmana tushta sthita prajna tadochyade. Sthita prajna's qualities are discussed in the Bhagavad Gita in the second chapter, verse 55. You will notice there Krishna talks about alma prajahadiyada kaman, one who works without kamam, without their desires, how he will act. Sarvan partha manogadam. He is not on a mental platform. He does not do things on a... He is not calculating all the time. What am I going to get out of this? He doesn't do like this. Then, Atmanyeva Atmana Tushta Siddha Pratnya Tadochyadeyam. Atmanyeva Atmana Tushta. Atmanyeva Atmana Tushta. Then he will execute his activities in such a way that it is beneficial for the soul. Only for the soul. He has no other calculations in that. He takes it, that as a duty he executes. That is amayaya anuvrtya. Amaya means without any falsity. There is no duplicity or falsity in his dealings with others. In the Kali Yuga, this is a very difficult quality, because this is the most prominent quality considered to be very honorable to be like this. That always duplicitous and always dealing with others in a false way, without being straightforward about things. And this actually, such an activity will not allow him to progress in the spiritual path, because the beginning itself is full of falsity. Where will that go? Amayayayanavartya tushir alma almado hari. Krishna is not pleased when someone deals like that, even with the spiritual master, or not even with the spiritual master, even with other devotees also. In the same way, this will have a disastrous effect. That is why it is spoken. Tatra bhagavadan dharman shikshet guru alma devada amahayayana vrtya yai sushet alma almado harim. That atmanyeva atmana tushta. One should act in such a way that it should not be without any personal motive. In other words, not to be too calculative in dealing with people also. Then, sarvado manaso asangama dau sangam jasadushu dayam maitrim prashrayam ja budeshwadhva yatho chidam. Then, sarvado manaso asangama dau sangam jasadushu. Sarvado manaso asangam. We have seen what that means. Not to allow the mind to associate with anything. Completely separate from the mind. Not allow the mind to dictate things. Sarvado manaso asangam mado. That mind cannot take over. Mind has no business to dictate to us in our spiritual life. Mind is not the controlling factor. In other words, not according to my mind I'll do something spiritual life. No. Whatever we execute in spiritual life has to be based on the shastric injunctions. What Shastra says, or whatever instruction has been given by the superior authorities. That is the factor. Aso ado sangam jasa adushu. One should separate asangam from with the mind and sangam with the sadhu. Sangam the sadushu. Sangam jasa adushu. Then, deya maitrim prashrayam cha bude shadhva yathojidam. Deya maitri prashrayam cha bude shadhva yathojidam. It says. Three things. Daya, Maitri and Prashrayam. Daya means to show compassion to all the other living entities. All the other living entities. That we have seen before. This Daya, Maitri, Prashrayam also is same thing what is spoken in another way. That friendship to love for Krishna. Friendship to devotees. And compassion to those who are fallen. And indifference to those who are envious. Isn't it? Premam, Maitri, Kruva, Ubeksha. The same thing is spoken. Daya, Maitri and Prashayam. Out of that, this Maitri is an important aspect of Bhakti. Maitri is an important aspect of Bhakti. In order to teach us these things, Supreme Personality has come down Himself to show us all these things in their own life. That is what you find. If you look into Ramayanam, you will see this. When Vibhishana came to see Ramachandra, and wanted to take his shelter, Sugriva was there, and Lakshmana was there, and they were trying to tell Ramachandra that we should not accept Vibhishana. Because first of all, one monkey said to Ramachandra, said straight away that he is from the enemy's camp. He may have come with a different motive. We will not accept him. We should reject him. This was his recommendation to Ramachandra. One monkey said like this to him. Another monkey said to Ramachandra that we should not just let him in. We should question him first before we ask him anything. Before we allow him to stay with us in our camp. Because Vibhishana was not accepted easily by anybody. Nobody accepted him first. Everybody rejected him. Sugriva says to Ramachandra that we should not accept him because he is a traitor. His own brother, he is trying to work against his brother. And we should not accept him. Sugriva says this to Ramachandra. At that point, Ramachandra turns around to Lakshmana. Valmiki doesn't say much at that time. Valmiki says, Ramachandra just smiled at Lakshmana at this point. Because why? Sugriva has done exactly the same thing. And he is asking Ramachandra, he is telling Ramachandra, his own brother Bali, he wants to get him killed. And therefore he has come and taken shelter of Ramachandra. And now he is saying that we should not accept Vibhishana. Vibhishana shouldn't come. You should reject him, he is saying. But Ramachandra at that point says something very important. He says, if you look into Ramachandra's history, you will see there, Martyavadarasya Martyashikshanam. He has taken this human form and one like us moved around in the society just to teach us how to deal with people, how we should act in this world. Martyavadarasya Martyashikshanam. That is how Sudeva Goswami says about Ramachandra. Only to instruct us, he has taken that form and come here. And what did he say? He says, no, Vibhishana has come to take my shelter. I will extend my friendship to him. Maitri. That is Maitri. And he also said, every brother will not be like my Bharat, he said. It's not like Bharat, everybody else is. Bharat's devotion, through four brothers, Rama, Lakshmana, Bharata and Shatrughna, you can see the perfection of relationships. What that means, Bharat's devotion to Ramachandra, Lakshmana's devotion to Ramachandra, Ramachandra's relationship with the younger brothers. All these things are to be noted. That is why Martyavadara Seha Martyashikshanam. That to teach the human society how to reciprocate loving relationship with each other. In order to show that. So there you will notice that Ramachandra said this. And also he said, not only Bharat, even with Vibhishana's later on, he says there, Vibhishana's devotion, that Maitri, that friendship, how he extended. Even if Ravana comes and takes shelter, Ramachandra was willing to offer that shelter to him. That was Ramachandra. That Maitri nature. You will see this much more in Krishnavataram, Krishna's appearance. There, everybody, freely loving relationship with all. With the peacock, with the cows, with the cowherd boys, with the gopis, and with anyone and everyone, to everyone Krishna extended friendship all the time. That is Krishnavataram's speciality. Even Pudana comes, Aho Bhagiyam Stanakala Kodam, Jikham Sayapaya Dapya Sadhvi, Le Bhagadinda Tujidam Kunyo Kutonyo Kambadayalam Sharanam Brajema. Bhagavatam says like this, that even one who has come to hand over poison to Krishna says, no, you are like my mother, wanted me to suck your breast, you also go to the spiritual world. So this friendship, what Krishna has shown, Ramachandra has shown, you don't see that anywhere else. That is the speciality of these special appearances of Ramachandra and Krishna. That this Maitri is an important part of bhakti. Bhakti is not just playing diplomacy and politics with each other. And that bhakti won't last very long. After sometime you will also get tired with bhakti. Then you will go. And so therefore, if you want to stay in bhakti process, these things have to be taken into account seriously. Unfortunately, most of the time we don't give importance to these things. We give importance to something else. We think that something else is bhakti. That is why we make all these big mistakes. Because these things are not taken seriously and we always fall and we are not able to make any
progress in the spiritual path. Therefore, she said like this, that bhakti means actually these are, they are Maitri, Prashrayam. Prashrayam means being respectful to the elders and to the superior people. That is just a natural thing. They are Maitri, Prashrayam. Prashrayam means being respectful to others, to the elders and the superiors. So those things are not taken anymore into account, is there? We can see in our own world what is happening. Sometimes things go to such an extent that it's only a question of time, as I was mentioning in the last class, that we develop such understanding of our own version of bhakti. That's where the problem starts. Our understanding of bhakti is such that somehow or the other I should take control of the situation. And in order to control the situation, it's just exactly the same situation like the ashram dog and the visiting dog. When the visiting dog came, the ashram dog started barking. So the visiting dog realized, unless I get him out from there and I sit there, I can't have control on the situation. So if with the visiting dog's attitude, if we take and replace the ashram dog, then where is the question of Maitri there? That is, we are not better than these two dogs, isn't it? So that is why it is these things one Prabuddha is speaking about in these verses is such an important bearing on our spiritual life. Then, Deya Maitrim Prashrayam Ja Bhudeshadhva Yathochitam. Yathochitam, properly, according to the particular situation, one should do it properly. Then, Shaujam Tapasa Titiksha Cha Maunam Swadhyayam Arjavam Brahmacharyam Ahimsancha Samatvam Dvandasam Ayoho. Many, many qualities mentioned there. First thing, to start with Shaujam. Shaujam means what? Shaujam means cleanliness, isn't it? Cleanliness. We can say purity of a person. Now, if you look in Mahabharata, there is a discussion between Dharmaputra, Yudhishthira Maharaj and Yamadharma Raja. If you know that famous, it's called Yakshaprasnam. Yakshaprasnam, there are five questions which were posed by Yamadharma Raja to Maharaj Yudhishthira. All other five brothers, they also fell down and they lost their life. And last one was Yamadharma Raja, Maharaj Yudhishthira, who came. And he had to answer these questions, and if they would answer properly, they'll all come back to life. It's an important discussion in the Mahabharata. That's where Yaksha asked Yudhishthira Maharaj, what is the greatest wonder in this world? Where he answered, Ahanyahani Bhudani Gachandi Simalayam Tesham Stavaram Ichandi. That one. That the greatest wonder is everyone is dying and still others are thinking it will not come, it will not happen to me. This is the one of those questions. So there was another question in there out of the five or six questions. One question was, what is meant by Shaujam? He says, cleanliness or purification. Shaujam, cleanliness. He's asking this question. Now, somebody may think, is it such an important question, this Shaujam, that what is there to answer this question? Is it so difficult? Shaujam means just you have to bathe and clean yourself very well. That's all, isn't it? But Shastric definition of Shaujam is, more than the body, it is Manomala Tyagam, it says. That means how impure the mind is and how you are able to purify it. That is the more important thing. Manomala Tyagam it is. Mala means the stool, or how the contaminated the mind is and how purified it is. That is the higher purification than the external purification. External purification is important. The important thing to realize in this is that we keep on cleaning this body day after day after day. So many things, so much time is spent on that, and still we know it never gets clean at the end. Isn't it? It never gets clean, no matter how much energy and time is spent on that. So the purpose is not to keep it cleaning all the time. The goal of all this is to realize one day that this body can never be cleaned. That realization will come from that. That by continuously executing this cleaning process of this body, one will come to understand that this body is not worthwhile maintaining for a long period of time. Or in other words, the attachments to the body will go away. So if that happens, then your mind is getting purified. Whereas some people, they spend hours, isn't it, how to get their body in the top condition. Hours and hours they spend, men and women both, nobody is short of that. And the energy they spend on that, because and the whole industry which runs on that, of maintaining this beautiful body, this is not favorable for bhakti. This is not favorable for bhakti. The quick thing, first thing to realize as quickly as possible, is that body should be cleaned and maintained. But once all should realize, no matter how much I try to maintain it and clean it, it never gets cleaned. Number one. With that, the attachment to the body goes away. Attachment to the body goes away. And then one will not endeavor too much in maintaining the body. Otherwise, body maintenance can take the whole day, isn't it? It can take the whole day. We work all day because we want to maintain the body. Then you go to the gym, 2-3 hours building up the body there. And after coming back, you have to go shopping for the right clothes for the right body to fit it in. And then all the perfume industry to keep it good smell conditions, all that. All sorts of things. I mean, when you look into life, one's own life, we can see that an amount of time we spend into just to maintain this body. So, Shaujam, what is referred to in the Bhagavatam, is here. Shaujam tabatidikshancha mavanam swadhyayam arjavam. The Shaujam, the point of mentioning the Shaujam, important point mentioned Shaujam is, it is not that if I've taken a bath, I'll go back and back to Godhead straight away. That's not going to happen. That's not the goal also. The purpose of saying this is that by maintaining body, one will realize, one will understand that the nature of this very body, what it is like, no matter how much you do it, it's going to be always in an impure state. And with the result, our attachment to the body will go away. That is why it is spoken like that. Shaujam tapasa titiksha cha maunam swadhyayam arjavam. Tapasa titiksha maunam. Let's look at it. Tapasa. What does tapasa mean? Tapasa means that voluntarily accepting the inconveniences in life. Voluntarily accept everything is a tapasa. Tapasa means that in material life, while dealing with this world, so many things are not up to our satisfaction. There is always require certain kind of tolerance is required. And voluntarily accepting the austerities, that is tapasa. Voluntarily accepting the austerities. Sometimes, due to our excessive attachment to the body, as soon as we get a small illness, immediately we start jumping up and down about that. What is to be done? Run to GP, run to NHS, run Bupa, run this, run that. And look, trying to get this medicine, that medicine. And constantly, because of this relationship with the medicine, like this, in this way, often only there is no tapas in us. Sometimes we feel that tapas is something to tolerate the bodily problems also. That is a tapasa. Because by doing that, we are actually burning up a lot of prarabdham also. In that way, goes away. A great sannyasi has said this once, that he was a very old person. He lived for over 100 years. And even at that age, nobody could bring any medicines to him. Even while he was experiencing different kinds of distress in the body, he was very happy to accept that. And that is the state of mind required for a devotee. To accept that state of mind. To accept and to tolerate the inconveniences in the body. Knowing very well that the cause of most of the illnesses are coming from prarabdham only. Is causing such situations, and not to overreact to that. Not to overreact to that. So that is a kind of tapasya. Then what else? Tapasya, all the fastings. Ekadashi Vratam, Ekadashi and Janmashtami and important days. Fasting on those days. That is also tapasya. Then waking up in the morning, early hours in the morning, and spending time in spiritual activities. That is also tapasya. And whatever happens in life, in our dealings with the world, when happiness and distress comes, able to tolerate, that is also tapasya. So tapasya is all different levels it comes. Generally,
the nature of a devotee under all circumstances is to be satisfied, is to be peaceful within himself. If he is not peaceful, it is not possible to execute Krishna consciousness. It's not an easy task. So, therefore it is said tapasya. Then the next one is titiksha. Titiksha, what is the discussion, decision, definition of titiksha? Titiksha means sahanam sarvadukhanam. No matter what distress comes in life, sahanam sarvadukhanam chinda vilaparahidam. Without complaining about it. So, Krishna says here, Prabhupada says here, this tidiksha is such a thing, sahanam sarvadukhanam apradigara purvakam. That if somebody reacts to you in the wrong way, that you didn't like it, insulted you or offended you in any way, and reacted you, still able to tolerate that, apradigara purvakam, without thinking about being revengeful to that person. Because this revengeful nature is a difficult thing in the spiritual life also. If one starts taking revenge to others, that becomes a problem. So therefore, sahanam sarva dukhanam, such a distress will, this world will always give us distress in some form or the other. Our own prarabdham will come through some person and he will react to fulfill that prarabdham to us, he will react to us in a wrong way. But that is to be kept in mind while making such decisions. Sahanam sarvadukhanam apradigara purvakam, without any revengeful mood, chinda vilaparahidam, not crying about it later on, that this happened to me, that happened, and always lamenting about it, sa tidiksha, that is tidiksha. Tidiksha is called that thing, that is tidiksha. Tidiksha means this quality, to tolerate anything and everything in this world without complaining. Why? Because the goal is something different, none of these. This is not the goal, the goal is Krishna. So in order to go back to Krishna, this quality is essential for a devotee, Prabhupada says here. So, tapa chaujam tapa tidiksham cha maunam swadhyayam arjavam. Maunam. That is another important thing. When should one be silent, isn't it? This is a very difficult thing because maunam, our reaction as soon as someone says something, immediately we want to give it back straight away. We don't want to hold it back anymore, isn't it? Because we think, if I don't do it now, tomorrow it's too late. By the time I'll cool down, then I may not be able to react with the same emotion immediately. Whereas if I can do it straight away, when I'm fired up, that's the right time to react. So this maunam, in the Narada Maharshi says in the Saptama Skandam about this, in the seventh canto, he says about these things, a little bit nicer. What he says there is that, normally there is always friction between mother-in-law and daughter-in-law. Isn't it? It's always there. It's a very difficult thing to get over. So, wife will come and say so many things about one's mother. And if you start thinking, oh, she's talking about my mother, now I'm going to give it back to her. And mother is saying to me, that, look, your wife is like this. And I start reacting with mother. Narada Maharshi says, you will not win this battle. This is one of the best example where maunam is the most best thing to do. The right philosophy at this point is maunam. Let she says what she has to say, the wife. Let the mother also say what she has to say. Don't glorify, don't condemn. Keep quiet. That's the answer. This is the best example where to apply maunam. Because this, every householder has to go through this, isn't it? At some stage or the other, so this problem will come. So when this problem comes, the right thing to do, Sri Narada Maharshi says there, is maunam. Maunam. No answer. Because these are coming from persons on their perceptions. And for spiritual life and for a devotee, they are not favorable. There is maunam is necessary. So similarly, there are other situations also in life you can see where maunam is necessary. We can't change everything in this world. The world will go on in its own way. And that's not in our control. And so many things will happen in this world. And if we start jumping up and down for anything and everything, then we won't get anywhere. It'll only increase in the blood pressure. That's all what's going to happen.
So therefore it is said tavasa shaujam tavasa tidiksha maunam. Then what else? Swadhyayam. Swadhyayam means what? Swadhyayam is swadhyayam. Adhyayam means swadhyayam means studying oneself. So what is important for a devotee's life is that swadhyayam is a must. Must in the sense, if one does not study Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam on a regular basis in one's life, he will not be able to make progress spiritually. This is an established fact. At least a very basic Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam is very minimum required for advancing in the devotional path. Because Krishna has spoken these things for this purpose only. If you look into Srimad Bhagavatam, you will find there that the very goal, purpose of this thing, what was spoken about here, is that the swadhyayam is such an important thing. To Uddhava, it is spoken like this. That Uddhava says here that Sukadeva Goswami says in the beginning of the, in the end of Bhagavatam, in the end of Bhagavatam, what does he say? He says there that this knowledge, Ekadasha Skandam, he refers to with a verse saying there that his, exactly the words he has used there is that he says, ya edadananda samudra sambradam jnanamrutam bhagavataya bhashitam. This is Sri Sukadeva Goswami says about Srimad Bhagavatam. What is that? Yad ananda samudra sampradam. This Srimad Bhagavatam is ananda samudram. In other words, it's an ocean of bliss. It's an ocean of bliss. And jnanamrutam is an ocean as a nectar of knowledge as well. Bhagavataya bhashitam. For the sake of Bhagavatam, a devotee, Uddhava, this was spoken. So in other words, this anandam, amrutam, ananda samudra sampradam, if one does not go into it and start searching for the happiness that is coming from there, there won't be any happiness in spiritual life. That is why Swadhyayam has been given such an important role. Swadhyayam has been given this important role. Because it is through the Swadhyayam, one get hold of the truth. One get hold of the truth in the proper way. Otherwise it is not possible. No, this material world won't tell you what the truth is. Truth is spoken by Sukadeva Goswami and other great sages in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Just like Brahmachari's soul. What is Brahmachari's soul? Brahmachari, it is absolute must, this Swadhyayam. It is for him specifically recommended in Brahmachari's ashram. One is supposed to develop this understanding of the Shastram in Brahmachari's life. Why in Brahmachari's ashram? In Brahmachari's ashram, whatever one has studied, in order to apply that into life, comes the householder life and the rest of the remaining part of the life. That's why it's given so much importance. It is in Brahmachari life one realizes that if you take shelter of anything in this world, eventually it will all be distress. This realization will come from studying Swadhyayam and from applying that into Brahmachari ashram. He will come to that understanding. So that is why it is said one should not take shelter of anything except Krishna. Nothing else one can take shelter of in this world. We may develop friendship with others. We may compassion to others, but one should not take shelter of anyone. This is most important. You see, even in husband-wife relationship, this is an important point. Otherwise, it is all going to be a disaster at the end. That husband and wife should not take shelter each other. That is a wrong thinking. Husband and wife should do the transaction in this world. Vyavaharam is necessary. Ashrayam is not possible. Is not to be done. Ashrayam should not happen because often you find that in family life, this is the biggest bottleneck. That a relationship built up over many years of time and tolerated each other a lot. And at the end, old age, they get closer and closer. And when they get closer, it becomes they can't stay one day without seeing each other. this stage comes. And that is very dangerous because suddenly one goes away. One will leave eventually because Jadasahi Dhruvam Mrityu Dhruvam Janma Mrdasaya Tasmad Aparihariyarthe. Krishna says that there is no solution to that problem. One of them will go and then the other one will be so miserable. One will be so miserable. Tasmad Aparihariyarthe Nantum Shoyidum Arhasi. So Krishna is saying that in the Bhagavad Gita and also from the Srimad Bhagavatam you can see that those who have got attached in life with each other in family life or whatever way it is, no attachment is going to cause problems. Attachment means that taking shelter each other. Husband taking shelter of wife, wife taking shelter of the husband, thinking that they are going to shelter you in this life. Actually, shelter is only in Krishna's, in Krishna's shelter. There is no other shelter in this world. All the shelter is false. So that is what the point that is being made very strongly here. Because when we realize that except Krishna, everything else in this world is only a cause of distress at the end. Even the relationship, it's a cause of distress at the end. When one leaves, the other one feels the distress also. So those who can see these things in advance and accordingly set up their life, he is a jnani, he is a realized person. A jnani's shanti or peace is based on all these things. He does not require, normally our nature is we always need company, isn't it? We want company. Somebody to chat with and somebody to spare time. All this desire for family life also has come from that, isn't it? But most of us what happens is we get absorbed in that family life and forget about the goal. And that is where all the problem starts. This is why it is said, Yan maithuna adigrihame di sukham ki tucham. Why Rishabhadev said this to his children? Yan maithunadi grihamedhi sukham hitucham. He will find little happiness in the family life and he'll get attached to it. Immediately he'll get attached to it. Nice food, cooked at home, eating there happily. And then socializing with the family, in the community socializing, you go there with the wife and children, feel and also feels happiness that I'm maintaining a family, that satisfaction, all kinds of illusions. So Bhagavatam is saying there, Kandoya yena karayo iva dukkha dukkham. This will only bring distress at the very end. So one who can see that the distress that is waiting far away, he is more intelligent and that's a jnani. One who knows these things, that this so-called my relationship in this world is all going to bring distress to me at the end. And that is proper relationship. So, even with the husband and wife, ashrayam is not allowed, but vyavaharam is allowed. Vyavaharam has to be done. Whatever that has to be done, it should be done. As a duty, whatever has to be performed by the husband or the wife, that should be done. But otherwise, shelter is Krishna. So, this is another important point that so a person who has understood these things, that amaya anuvrtya, that he says, amaya anuvrtya means that one who is able to act without any duplicity, without any falsity in his dealings. There is a, you know, these pearls, how the pearls are born. According to Shastram, I don't know what the science says about that. There is a particular living entity which stays underneath the water, On the day of the Swati star, when the Swati star comes, that day this living entity will come from underneath the water to the surface, of the ocean or the sea. And it will stay there with its mouth open for just one drop of rainwater. It won't take anything. It will only take this raindrop. And as soon as it gets its raindrop, it will go down again underneath to the deep sea, to the deep bend. When it goes there, in a few days, it will convert itself into a pearl. And then it leaves the body and goes away. So all the great souls are like that. They'll come to this world and they'll take what is necessary from the Shastram, for them to advance on the spiritual side. After that, they will give up this world. They won't have anything to do with this. Then what they have to do, they come here with a purpose, with a goal. And that goal is whatever that they want to serve Krishna in whatever form they want to do it, they'll do that. Like the Swati, the pearl is developed in the same way. They'll do their business and they will go back. They won't keep any attachment to anything else. So, in the Shastram, while discussing all these things, in Upanishads particularly, these things are specifically mentioned, that how important it is to develop this nature in one's spiritual life. Because Prabhupada, when he is talking about it, he is saying this, that these qualities, whether it is a sannyasi, brahmachari, grahastha, or whoever it is, if they are not there, then his mind cannot grow spiritually. It cannot grow. Because these are the things which conditions the mind. Our attachment to the body, attachment to the home, attachment to wealth, all these things are impediments. And in order that they do not grow beyond the limit, and it does not become an obstacle in our spiritual life, that simultaneously swadhyayam is necessary to control them. To control them. So in order to know these things, you can only get it from Srimad Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita. Where else, which other literature will tell you these things? There is no other literature which will tell you. Or the realizations of the great sages. So that's why it is said there. Swadhyayam arjavam. Arjavam means simplicity. Simplicity, not sophisticated. Sometimes people get very sophisticated in their dealings with others, isn't it? That very sophisticated. And that makes it very difficult. But a devotee should not have that complexity in his dealings. Arjavam, always simple. And simplicity is necessary, even while eating, while dressing, everything. And that simplicity is necessary. It comes later also, it's mentioned. Brahmacharyam, ahimsa. Brahmacharyam means, as we know, brahmacharyam generally somebody says, brahmachari means one who is not married. That is not brahmachari. Anyone who is not married is not a brahmachari. Actual brahmachari means one who has understood what is Brahman, what is Brahman, and he is moving towards in that direction. In other words, you can also say, one who is dependent on Brahma. Brahma means actually referring to Krishna. One who is dependent on Krishna completely. He is a brahmachari. Whether he is a householder, whether he is a sannyasi, whether he is a vanaprastha stage, whatever it is, he has got brahmacharyam in him. The quality of brahmacharyam is in there as long as he is dependent on Brahma. Brahma means Krishna. So, dependence on Krishna is the important thing. So, who has got that dependence on the Supreme Lord? He has got this brahmachari quality in him. He has got the brahmachari quality in him. That's why it is said, we depend on so many others. They are not brahmacharis. So even if you have dressed up like a brahmachari, but you are not dependent on Krishna, you are dependent on so many other things in this world, then you are not a brahmachari. The real brahmachari is that person who is dependent on Brahman. Brahman who is moving towards Brahman. Or dependent on Brahma's, on Krishna's mercy alone, he survives in this world. Then ahimsa. Ahimsa is another important thing. Ahimsa also we misunderstand many times what is ahimsa means. Ahimsa, we always think that sometimes we have to deal in a violent way with other living entities, isn't it? It comes to this understanding. But ahimsa is such a thing, can be understood in many ways. Ahimsa means deliberately not giving any pain to another living entity. And that can extend not even physical pain, mental torture or any kind of pain to another living entity. Once a question came up like this. He said, one person came to an ashram and asked this question. His question was, that suppose I am sitting here, a mosquito comes and sits on me and start biting me. What should I do? So naturally, what's our normal reaction when mosquito comes straight away? One on that, isn't it? That's what it is. So the sage understood the question very well. He said to him that ahimsa means actually, if you are able to bring your mind to that understanding, to see everything in connection with spiritual life. The mosquito is coming and telling you with the music, you are not this body, you are not this body, you are not this body. And it is taking your blood from you. You are not this body, taking your blood. you are saying, I am this body, I am this body. And so, from that point itself, you can know that you are not making any spiritual advancement. That even that tolerance you are not able to show to a such a tiny living entity. Where is ahimsa? That's the question. Where is ahimsa? Such a small inconvenience we cannot tolerate. A mosquito bite. Immediately we think, first of all, we go fully armed with all the creams and nets and all kinds of things, thinking that as though I'm going to hell, that so prepared to deal with this thing called mosquito. This is only an example. But if we think in like this, that mosquito is teaching me the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita very nicely, isn't it? Dehino asmin yatha dehe omaram yavanam jana. She is telling me that similarly you will also die. I'm just taking a little blood out of you. And why are you getting so heavy with me? But, and you are not this body, isn't it? That's the first thing mosquito is teaching us. And what's our reaction to the mosquito? We say to him, no, I am this body, we'll talk later, but you go to spiritual world now, and I'll send you back first. Because I am chanting Hare Krishna, if I kill you with chanting the holy name, one devotee even killed a mosquito chanting the holy name. He said, you go to the spiritual world. You also go to the spiritual world, because I am chanting the holy name for you. So, this is all our bhakti. Our bhakti is like this. This is what we have understood from the bhakti. So, anyway, these are all part of Prabhupada's instructions. Now, we will finish today, and then I'm going away for a few weeks to India. When I come back, we will continue with Bhagavatam again, hopefully by 23rd of December or so. And that is what I'm hoping. Now, let everything what Krishna decides, let it be. So, I'll stop there. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.